people of hope, called to give of ourselves.
Chosen to serve the lost and lonely, gifted to serve a hurting world.
All are welcome in this place.
Thanks be to God.
And we have a song that says that we're going to be singing throughout this particular time. I'm going to teach it to you. So how about we do this? As we get ready for me to teach it to you, can you sit? And then we'll stand for the other.
Yeah.
royal oath first this morning. If you don't hear anything else we have to say today, hear the words of that song. You are welcome. You are welcome in this place. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've been through, you are welcome here today. We are glad you're here. You got yourself here. If you weren't here, this wouldn't be the same today. And don't forget, God loves you, man.
There's nothing you can do about it.
And we mean that. We believe that from the bottom of our hearts. We hope that you walk out feeling a little more like that today. Welcome. In a minute, our ushers are going to be coming down and we pass on our ritual of friendship pad. That's your opportunity to let us know that you're with us this morning. If you take that pad, fill in your attendance, and then pass it to the end of the row so others can do the same. And when it gets to this end, pass it back to the center as it comes back across the row. Take a look and see who's seated with you today so you can welcome somebody new by name. I always have a couple of announcements for the good of the community, but my first one is we are celebrating a birthday here today, a pretty prominent, significant birthday, so significant that we're having cake, right? Natalia is turning 17 today. Sign up and say, I'd like to come to the welcome to the party. The second thing you can do is call into the office this week. continue to extend the circle of hospitality to all of our kids. I'm going to start out here with Amanda. Amanda, tell us why extending the circle to all kids, especially kids with special needs, is such an important mission and passion of yours.
I have a 14-year-old son who has autism. When I first came to this church, I was nervous about him being accepted. He can be loud and awkward, but I came and I felt a lot of love and support, and it led me to join the church and actually get really involved. And so I'm trying to do what I can and make this place where everybody is included and feel welcome and loved.
You said just a little bit. Why is it, as a parent of a young man who's watching, why is that something that when you go into a church or into this, why doesn't the kid wonder or worry about whether or not you'll be welcome?
Because he's different. But he's really different in a great way, a good way. I think a lot of our kids with special needs just need the opportunity to let their personalities shine and be who they are. And once you know them, they change your lives just as much as...
What's your son's name and why do you love him?
Jacob. My son is Jacob. He is, I think he's a gift from God. He's pure love. He's raw emotion. And he's just a bright light.
And so we have a special event happening here in our community that you wanted to invite your church family to come and make this important connection in memory of our friend Dominic and support of young people like your son.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening.
So Royal Oak Ford is sponsoring a fundraiser on May 13th from 9 to 3. All the proceeds are going to go to our peer-to-peer mentorship group at school, which supports and plans activities for kids with special needs and their typical peers. So all we're looking for is our people to come test drive Ford cars, and Ford is going to pay us $20 for every household that drives. All you got to do is show up and drive.
I can drive a car and
right.
Give $20 to a good
yeah,
program?
Yeah, we have the potential to...
Do they know what kind of driver I am?
Yeah.
Does that matter?
No.
Okay, good, I'm here.
Bridget
will be driving, sure.
We have the potential to make up to $8,000 for this program. So if you could come and just test drive a car or be a ride-along passenger, that's also what we're looking for, 18 years or older. We're going to be grilling, there's going to be music, it's going to be a party in memory of Dom, and to go towards this amazing...
Dominic is a member of our church. Here's how we go and show the community that we knew and loved Dominic and want to help support that ministry. You can do that. I want to introduce you to one of Dominic's friends who's also in the peer-to-peer ministry. This is Danny. Danny, tell us about why you love Dominic.
Well, I wasn't in peer-to-peer. I just hung out with him.
Yeah, you're talking
about him. Anyway, Dom was a really great guy. The reason that I first sort of like started hanging out with Dom is I'm transgender, female, I'm just like, oh my God. And I guess the main thing is he always accepted me as a boy, and he didn't see me as a freak or anything like that. And it just really meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to him that I just accepted him. And he was just, really, he had like a zest for life. He didn't care if you didn't want him to go into that car. He would go into that car, and he would play with that car, and he would do whatever with that car. And he liked to bowl a lot, and he used to do this thing where he would like sit down and then just roll. And like, it was just like really great because he just did it like his own way, and he did life with a zest that not a lot of people have. He didn't take time for granted, and if you let him be your friend, he would take you and he would grab your heart and he would love you as much as he possibly could for as long as he possibly could. And he was a really special guy. He just really touched my life. He touched so many people's lives, and I know so many people who their life was better by meeting him, who he made their life more meaningful, who he made them feel more beautiful and more whole. So the reason you need to support the peer-to-peer program is it is not just a one-way street. When you help people who are with autism, it's not a one-way street. These people are benefiting our community and making us better and making us more whole as a community and making us more mature, making us more loving, making us more involved. So when you, that $20 you get that they give from driving the Ford it's going to go to a pizza dinner so that two kids can connect with each other. It's going to go bowling so all the special needs kids cannot have to spend a Saturday at home alone in their room. It's going to go to being able to buy fidget toys and different toys people that special needs kids need to be able to deal with their skimming and deal with the overstimulation that goes along with having to live with autism. So I really hope that you all have Facebook, put this on your Facebook, you all have a car, show up and drive, you all can spend an hour to help a special needs kid. You can all, people always are like, I wanna make a difference, I wanna help people. You can make a difference. You can make the difference in the life of not one child, but two children who are getting a two-way relationship. So I really hope you put this in your calendars. You all have cell phones. Put this in an alarm. You all have family calendars, your cozies, your Google calendars, your Facebook calendars. You need to get up and you need to support these people because special needs programs are being attacked left and right by the current administration. People are trying to take money away from these children who need help. So please, 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 for me, for Dominic, please come out and help. Please just spend an hour of your day and help. 15 minutes, just please come, even if you just want to come make a donation. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to the Gesky family. They're going through a really hard time right now. They lost a really special person. And a lot of people lost a really special person. So please come and help.
So when it comes time for the finance campaign, can you come in? This is what we're about here. Is empowering passion. You come and help this young man support his passion in the world by doing what God has asked him to do by helping spread the love throughout the community. Would you give Danny a nice big round of applause? Thank you.
first part of today's scripture lesson comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the day's heat. He looked up and suddenly saw three men standing near him. As soon as he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to greet them and bow deeply. He said, "Sirs, if you would be so kind, don't just pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought to you, so you may wash your feet and refresh yourselves under the tree. Let me offer you a little bread, so you will feel stronger. And after that, you may leave your servant and go on your way, since you have visited your servant." They responded, "Fine, do as you have said." So Abraham hurried to Sarah at his tent and said, "Hurry, knead three seahs of the finest flour to make some baked goods." Abraham ran to the cattle and took a healthy young calf, gave it to a young servant who prepared it quickly. Then Abraham took butter, milk, and the calf that had been prepared and put the food in front of them. He stood under the tree near them as they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He said, "Right here in the tent." Then one of the men said, "I will definitely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Well, Sarah was listening at the tent door behind them. And now Abraham and Sarah were both very old. Sarah was no longer menstruating, and she laughed at herself, thinking, "I am no longer able to have children, and my husband is old." The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Me, give birth at my age?' Is anything too difficult for the Lord? When I return to you about this time next year, Sarah will have a son." Sarah lied and said, "I didn't laugh," because she was frightened. He said, "No, you laughed." And from the book of Hebrews, it tells us, "Don't neglect to open your home to guests, because by doing this, some have been host to angels without knowing it." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Michel, madame, monsieur, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you here today. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, while First United proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest. Put our service to the test. Tie a napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvres, why we only live to serve. Try the gray stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me, ask the dishes. They can sing, they can dance. After all, this is a surprise.
Our guest.
Amen.
Now, the story that we heard this morning tells us about a miracle that happened in the life of Abraham and Sarah. And it's a religious miracle. It's one of the great miracles of God. But this great miracle of God doesn't happen the way we religious people often think miracles come. And you notice in the story that miracle didn't come to Abraham and Sarah because they prayed a whole lot more than everybody else. No, the miracle didn't come to Abraham and Sarah because they knew more scripture than everybody else. No, the miracle didn't even come to Abraham and Sarah because they went to church more than everybody else. It didn't even say the miracle came because they put more money in the offering plate than everybody else. Although feel free to give that one a try. See what happens with that. No, it said a miracle came to Abraham and Sarah's house because Abraham and Sarah knew how to welcome. They knew how to welcome new people. They knew how to welcome guests. They knew how to welcome strangers.
Amen.
When was the last time you were a stranger? When was the last time you were the new kid? When was the last time you were the new face in the crowd, the new kid at school, the new person at the job or the office? When were you the one who, when they walked into the room, everybody turned and said, "Ooh, you're not from here. You don't look like us. You don't act like us. You don't dress like us." Do you remember those moments when you were the stranger? As a parent, we tell our kids to be afraid of strangers. Call it stranger danger. You ever heard that? Yeah, right? Your mom said, "Elliot, don't be hanging out with people they don't know. That's a good thing." Until it's not a good thing. Right? As kids, we have this need to be safe. But then as adults, that fear that we had of strangers when we were younger turns into an irrational fear of those who may be different than us. Why is it that we are so afraid of people who are different than us? It really seems that right now the number one conversation going on in the news, in the culture, in the church is, what do we do about people who are different than us? People who are a different race than us, a different religion than us, people who are a different immigration status than us. What do we do with people who are poorer than us? Who don't have a home like some of us? If you pay at all attention to what's going on in this denomination called the United Methodist Church, we are in a protracted, too long conversation about what do we do with people who love different than some of us. So what do we do with strangers, with people who are different than us? Our story this morning tells us about a couple that had to make a decision about what they were going to do about strangers. Let me remind you about who we're talking about today. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, when they were a young couple, newlyweds in their early 20s perhaps, they stood out like all newlyweds do, full of love and joy with each other. And they stood one night under the starry sky holding each other's hands, and they swear they heard God whisper into their ear, "Abraham and Sarah, one day, you'll have as many descendants as the stars in the sky. Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a big family. And that family is going to be a blessing to the world." What a great promise. The only problem is that Abraham and Sarah never had any what? They never had any kids. For some of us, that doesn't feel like such a bad offer right now, right? You know? But they never had any kids. You can't have this great big family if you can't have children. You can't have grandchildren. You can't have great-great-grandchildren. But God made this promise. And so they held on to this promise into their 30s and 40s and 50s. They still believed that God maybe, just maybe, would do something with them. Our story opens up, and Abraham and Sarah are 99 and 95. Anybody 99 out there? this point, they were too old. They were too old to believe anymore that God would do anything new or anything unique in them. Sure, it was a great promise when they were younger, but now they were older and they didn't know what to do. Hey, Mary, you and Sam are going to have a baby this week, okay? All right. You okay? She wants to know what time, Sam. Right? I mean, look at Mary. What? Darn you, Sam. Right? Noel and Patty, God's going to have a baby this year. No, we're not, Noel says. We're not. We're not at all, right? That's how ridiculous this promise still sounded. And yet God still said it. You, God's not with them. Here's the... You're sweating. But that promise, when you come to a place in your life when God's promise makes no more sense to you, and Abraham and Sarah had long since given up on this promise that God had spoken to them. You ever feel like the promise God has spoken to you has long since disappeared? Whatever that promise was that has changed and let go, and Abraham and Sarah are in that moment. It's in that moment where they have this encounter with strangers. The story says that to this 99-year-old and this 95-year-old, that they were just minding their own business, no longer holding out this kind of hope, and suddenly they wake up and there are three strangers sitting at the doorway, people they've never seen before, people that they may not ever see again. They didn't know what race or religion or economics. They didn't know who they voted for in the last election. They didn't know if they could trust these people. All they knew is that there were three strangers standing there at the front door. And so they had to make a choice. And it's the same choice you and I have every time that we encounter somebody who's a stranger. You can do three things. You can put a hand up and say, privacy. Thank you. We call it the Heisman, right? No. Heisman. Keep away. Pass on by. You're different than me. I don't know you. I'm afraid of you. Pass on by. We can put a hand up. We can give a hand out, which is that moment of charity that we've all had when we're not sure what to do for somebody. We don't really want to let them in, but we don't want to just be rude. So we're like, here's a little something. Now, please go on your way. Will this make you go away? Here's a glass of water. Now please move on down the road. I have that like every time someone wants to sell me Boy Scout popcorn. It's like, sure, fine, here, go, keep moving, right? Hand up, hand out, or hands open. Privacy, charity, or hospitality. The story says Abraham and Sarah, in this moment of encountering these three strangers, chose hospitality. They invited them in. They invited them into their home. They made room in their home. They made room in their hearts. It said they made them feel comfortable. It said they went and got some water for their feet and made some food for their stomachs. It says they gave them a comfortable chair. Does anyone in your house like have dad's chair? Like, I got dad's chair in our house, right? Boys can sit until I come in the room, right? And then they know they gotta get out of my chair, because it's my chair. Dave, you got your chair?
No.
No, you shouldn't get your chair, Dave. It's a good thing, right? You
know? My time will come.
Your time will come, yes. They gave them the best chair. And then it says they gave them their best stuff. It said he went out to the field and they got the fatted calf. The fatted calf that they had been holding on to for the most special occasion. I bet some of you got a bottle of wine that you've been holding on to for a long time, waiting for the right moment to bring it out. Some of you got probably a pint of ice cream in the refrigerator, the freezer, just waiting for the right time to bring it out. Maybe there's that T-bone steak that you bought on special last week, and you're just waiting for that night and you can make it for yourself. Abraham and Sarah took that which they had been waiting for a special occasion and gave it away to people. people they'd never met before, and people they might not ever see again. They didn't choose privacy. They didn't choose charity. They chose hospitality. And in choosing hospitality, the story changed for Abraham and Sarah forever. Because after the meal, after this great welcome, these three strangers look at Abraham and Sarah and they say, "You keep treating people like this? God's not done with you. You keep welcoming people like this in your life, you keep treating people the way you treat people, then God's going to have another miracle for you. You keep doing this, Sarah, you keep doing this, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Yes? You're going to have a future." Every week, I preach my sermon for practice at 11:30 on Tuesday. If you're ever around at 11:30 on Tuesday, come here, listen to what we're going to say, and then you can give me real feedback. You can tell me what you really think. Right? This last week, we preached this sermon. I got done with it. I talked about this miracle that this old couple was going to have this baby again, and it was because they had gave the hospitality to Bob Gowdy, Pastor Bob, who looked at me when we were all done and said, "What is the real miracle here, Jeff? Is the real miracle that this couple was going to have a baby, or was the real miracle that they offered hospitality to strangers? What was the real miracle? Was the real miracle that this couple who had no reason to extend hospitality anymore, this people who life had cheated and they felt like life hadn't been fair and hadn't done the way that it wanted to, if anybody had the reason to say, we have paid our dues, it was Abraham and Sarah." He said, "Jeff, what was the real miracle?" Maybe the real miracle was providing the hospitality. And it reminded me, if we want to see a miracle, then we should be the miracle. Right? I go from church to church to church these days, talking to churches that are in trouble, that are wondering if their doors are going to stay open. They want a miracle. They just don't want to be a miracle. They want people to come. They just don't want to welcome the people that show up. They want people to come as long as they look like them and act like them and behave like them. If a stranger shows up at the door, sometimes they choose privacy. Often they give charity. Rarely are they willing to do hospitality, and they wonder why the miracle of God doesn't show up. Want the miracle? Be the miracle.
Amen.
Want a future? Provide a future. Do you still believe that the single act of welcoming a stranger, a newcomer, a guest into your life, into the life of the church, it can be a miracle for them? Come and sit at a new member meeting sometime, when people who've been searching for a church finally find one. People who say, "You know, we've gone to several churches. None of them would welcome my special needs kid. Thanks for being a place that we've been. We've been to lots of churches, but everybody just looked funny at us because I come without the kid's dad. Or I've been to lots of churches and I just don't have the same kind of clothes that everybody else has. And so I just never felt welcome there. Thank you for welcoming me into this place." I'll never forget this time when I was in Redford. And do you know that 85% of people will find your church first, not by the internet? 85% of first-time visitors have already checked you out on your website before they show up at your church for the first time. Do you know that 85% of people my age and younger don't even know what a Yellow Pages is? They're going to find us on the internet first. So this church shopper was looking on the internet. She looked on. She looked at the church in Redford. She looked at all the pictures. And she said, "Boy, those people don't look very fancy. I probably could go to church there." But she made a call. And she said, "What time are your church services?" And then she asked the question, "Will you welcome black people at your church?" I said, she'd been to a whole lot of churches where it was clear she wasn't welcome. "Of course we will. We'll be glad to have you. What should I wear? Clothes? Please?" When Cherie found a home for she and then her autistic daughter, it was a miracle. Want a miracle? Be the miracle. Hospitality in this world is sometimes still a miraculous thing. So let me say, that's Sarah laughing. Let me say to all of you here who are newcomers, who are new in our midst, who've been here less than me, I've only been here 10 months, we're glad you're here. We need you here. Nobody else could do that song today but you, brother. We needed you here. So come back and do it again, and again, and again, and again. You are welcome here. We need to welcome the stranger in our midst, because the stranger can tell us something that we've forgotten about ourselves. A stranger can walk up to a 99 and 95-year-old couple and say, hey, God's not done with you yet. God can walk into a 180-year-old Methodist church and say, God's not done with you yet. A stranger or a newcomer can walk into a church. You know what I've never heard a newcomer say? This is the way we always do things here. So they can ask us questions about why do you do what you do here. On Easter Sunday, we had nearly 800 people come to church on Easter Sunday. But it was a newcomer who was here for the first time who said something to me that we needed to hear. I said, gosh, I hope you like worship today. She says, I loved it. The only problem is I usually have oxygen, and I didn't want to carry my oxygen today, and I couldn't find a parking spot. By the time I found a parking spot, and I walked my way up to the front door, I couldn't breathe, and there was no bench to sit on. We can get you a bench, and we can help you find a place to park. How about valet parking at Royal Oak first? You know, my friend Grace, Virginia Sleeman came to church on Ash Wednesday. She drove around the block four times, couldn't find a parking spot, and went home. It's great to have new people, but isn't going to be at the expense of pushing our people who've been here a long time out? Will you help me solve the parking problem here? So that nobody gets turned away because they can't find a parking spot? Would you park a car for a senior and then make sure that it's there to help them at the end of the day? That's what hospitality is. Would you help me figure out how to do that? Guests, you are welcome here. More than anything else, let me say, I want Royal Oak First to be known as the most welcoming church in the community.
Amen.
I don't care what you say about the preacher. I don't care what you say about the music. I'm not even that worried about what you say about our programs. But when you leave here, I want you to say, man, those people knew I was coming. And they were glad I was here. They say that the average person will make a decision about whether or not they're coming to church within the first 3 to 5 minutes. They haven't heard a song. They haven't heard a preacher. What they have experienced is somebody's welcome. You could be the reason that somebody says, I got a place here. So that's how it begins, with you welcoming the strangers around you. And there are some real strangers out there today. I leave you with this image. In our house, Mrs. Nelson has special soap and towels that none of the men in the house are allowed to touch. They are not for us. They're for you when you come to our house. She puts out the good stuff for you when we know that you're coming. Because we want you to feel comfortable. And we want you to know that you're welcome. So Royal Oak First, I'm simply going to ask you, will you help me put the soap and the good towels out? Will you help me do the next step of making sure that the person who's walking through the door for the first time who desperately just wants to belong doesn't feel like they've got to go look for another place? Will you make sure that a 90-year-old who's grown up in this church doesn't have to go home because she can't find a parking spot? Will you help somebody who needed a place to sit before she came in? Will you help me build a bench and put it out there? Will you do the things? Will you be the miracle? So that we can experience the miracle. Friends, let's just keep drawing the circle, and let's draw the circle. why.
Said he drew a circle that shut me out, a heretic, a rebel, a thing to flout, but love and I had the wit to win.